says how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell.
Yes.
Amen. Thank God for our Redeemer. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who saves us from our sins. Not just one sin, all of our sins.
Come on.
Not all of our sins, that we are a sinner. You know, it's not a matter. Some people say, well, a matter of repenting of your sins. You are sin. You are a sinner.
Come on.
It's not a matter of reconciling your sins. That's what you are without Jesus Christ. You are a sinner. But Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to forgive us of all sins for all of eternity. Thank God for that. Thank God that he paid the debt and made me free. If that don't get you excited, I don't know what will. But Jesus Christ paid the debt for your sins. He's pardoned you. And he's made you free through his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Thank God for that. This morning, just only announcements I got is just want to welcome Brother Pinto to be with us this morning. Brother, glad you made up here safely. He'll be taking the morning service for us this morning. And I'm just glad to see that he made it safe and he'll be able to be here with us this morning. And also, good news, the mayor's granddaughter is doing a lot better.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Her name's Emma Grace. I do have a card somewhere. Where is that, Mel? So, you have, so we got a card for her, for, if you'd like to sign it for. We're going to try to get it over to her. Yeah, Melanie's got it back there. I'll put it up here after the Sunday school service. I'll put it up here if you just want to sign a little note to her. Send her. From what I gather, she's back home. They got her on the heart monitor, but thank the Lord she's doing well. So I'm thankful that God answered our prayers on that. Continue to pray for the Cobles. And their son, Derek, lift him up before the throne of grace that God would just help in that situation there. Brother Les, Miss Nancy, continue to pray for them as well. And that's about all I got as far as announcements go. Oh, we do have a new members list. If you'd like one, they're up here. I think we got 30 copies, so if we need more, we'll print them out. But if you'd like to grab one, hopefully there's no mistakes on it. If there is, just cross it out and put some white out or something and put what's supposed to be right there because, yeah, this is the final copy. So we'll have these up here if you'd like to grab one for the members and friends directory. Great. Let's sing one more song here. Let's sing page 164. If you're able to stand, let's go ahead and stand this morning. Page 164, Nothing But Your Love.
especially, Lord God, we thank you for our salvation. Thank you, Father God, that we have the rock that we can stand on the troubles, heartache. Lord God, I pray that you lift up those who are going through different difficulties here this morning. I pray, Father God, your loving arms around them. I pray you fill them with your peace, with your love, your mercy, and especially your hope, Father God. And I pray, Father, for the message this morning. As the brother gets up to preach, I pray, Father God, that you give him the words. Lord, I pray Holy Spirit would speak through him in a precious and a wonderful way. Pray, Father God, that you'd use him this morning. Make him a vessel of your mercy. And open our ears that we might hear the word that your Holy Spirit has for us this morning. Give us something out of your scriptures this morning. And we'll give you praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's go over our many verses here real quick this morning. You got the little red book here. Page number 9. The little red book here. I'm going to have to order some more here. I'll order some more and put it back there. We won't. Would anybody like to attempt to go through all of it? Thanks, Captain.
Life is brief. Life is brief, James 4:14. Whereas there is no... I practiced this all week. Whereas you know not what you'll be on the morrow. Life is brief, James 4:14. Whereas there shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Life is uncertain. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Death is sure. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, Christ may appear at any moment. Matthew 24:44. Therefore, you shall also be ready
for such an hour as this time that ye know not,
you think not, and Son of Man shall appear. No escape for the procrastinator. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great? If we neglect so great a sacrifice,
salvation,
which at first was spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by those who have heard him.
Amen. Thank you, sister. That's impressive. I knew it probably, whoever the first person would be to try to do it, they'd be nervous as all get out. They'd be stumbling all over the place. That's a blessing.
Amen.
I'd rather be like that than you saying perfect and being all pious about it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen,
amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Well, she didn't say that word right. Well, she messed up there. Well, yeah, she tried. Amen. That's amen. Amen. Let's say it all together. It's a blessing. Let's throw off here. Life is brief. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is uncertain. Proverbs 27:1. Oh,
thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
Death is sure, Hebrews 9:27,
and as it is the will unto man once to die, but after this to judgment.
Christ may appear in the moment,
Matthew 24:44,
therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh.
No escape for procrastinators, Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard
him? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So we can be dismissed for the Sunday school hour.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to continue on here this morning with our study in the book of Genesis. We'll pick up here again in Genesis chapter number 2. Last couple of weeks we've been looking through about entering into rest, resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, resting in His finished work, which He accomplished there on the cross of Calvary. This morning we're going to kind of pick up and go to pick up the next couple of verses here. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse number 4, the Bible says this. Genesis 2:4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was any earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. The Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this day. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace, your long-suffering. Lord, just your faithfulness to us. Lord, I pray again now this morning, Lord, you open our eyes, you open our ears. Lord, help us to receive what you have us to get out of your word this morning. Lord, I pray that all that's said and done will be directed and guided by your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would just receive all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord, that it will cause us to draw closer to you. I love you more in these last days that we're living in. I just pray it's all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So the Bible says here in verse number 4, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was any earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. So Genesis chapter 2 kind of gives an overview, a review back of what we've gone through in Genesis chapter number 1. But one thing I want you to notice here is he's going, as the Lord has Moses write through here in chapter 2, saying these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. And he's talking about the plants, and he's talking about the earth and the herbs of the field before they grew, and how there was no rain yet. And then he makes this comment, the latter part of verse number 5, he says, and there was not a man to till the ground. There was not a man to till the ground. You see, man was created from the beginning to work, and not to be put in a sedentary, inactive state, so long as his body and mind would permit him to work. You see, God is created from the very beginning of time for man, and I'll say also women, to work. God has not set this thing up for us just to sit at home all day and do absolutely nothing on the couch.
God has set us up to work. And that's one part of the problem with our society today is nobody's willing to work anymore. I've said this before. It's a joke between my wife, as we go in a store somewhere. I say, oh, look, they're hiring. It's such a blessing to see a company hiring nowadays. Everywhere you go, they're hiring. Billboards hiring. I was driving down the road the other day coming back from somewhere with my wife and kids. And they kind of laughed at me because I messed up my words when I said something. And I'm not going to repeat it to you because I might say it the wrong way. But I saw a billboard coming down the interstate, and it said something about some marshmallow place. And it said like $32 an hour for a maintenance man. I said, man, I can go in there and fix something. Just give me a hammer and some screwdriver. I'll walk around looking like I know for $32 an hour. But people are, places are begging for people to work. You know, listen, I understand back in the 20s and 30s when the welfare system kicked in and Social Security and all this other stuff. Because I think it was started up in the wrong way. But I think some people through it had some good intentions. Some good intentions, that there was people that lived in poverty. They needed some help. Let's help them out with some food. Let's give them a little bit of money to help them out. But not to their detriment, to where they can just sit at home and just take money in all day long and not have to worry about doing anything. And that's what's caused one of the major issues in our country today, is we've raised a nation of lazy individuals. And if they do work, they complain about everything. Well, you're not giving me this, you're not giving me that. Since when does a company have to give you health insurance? Stop and think about it for a second. Why is it my job as an employer to provide you with health insurance? Well, that's just the way it's supposed to be. He says who? Right? We should be thankful enough that we just have a job to get money to put food on our plates. But I want you to think this morning, I'm thankful for those that have a job that have health insurance. Don't get me wrong this morning. But it's not a right. It's a privilege. Do you understand? What we have today in this country is so often a privilege. It's not a right. If we were to go to work and all they gave us was to pay for that day for what we did, we've got what we deserve. We don't deserve a retirement fund. Who's to say that an employer has to provide you with money after you're done working for them? I'm putting things into reality, back to what the Bible says. You see, part of the problem is too many people today are trusting in their job, they're trusting in their health insurance, they're trusting in their retirement, rather than trusting in God. Well, I have all these things in line, so my life is fine now. No, you could have all these things in line, you still be miserable. And it's still not able to take care of you for what you're going through. Jesus Christ and His Word is what we need. Now, I'm not going to complain if I have a retirement fund. Don't get me wrong this morning. What I'm saying is that God has blessed this country beyond all what we can even imagine. God's blessed this country. Go live in another country. Brother, you're from Cuba, correct?
No.
Yes. He knows what I'm talking about. Let's take a little trip down to Haiti right now. Let's take a little trip down into Haiti right now. It's basically mob rule right now. It was mob rule when I was there, but it's even worse now. I had a brother one time tell me when I came back from the mission field, he had a skewed view. I don't know. He said, well, couldn't you just call the police? No, there's no police to call in a third world country. You call the police, they're corrupt as everything else. Look, I was going through the border one time by myself with a Haitian. I was going through the border trying to get into Haiti from the Dominican side. I kept up on everything with my passport. I tried to do everything that they said. I had all the paperwork. I go up to the border. The Dominican side takes my passport and says $400. They saw that I was American. They realized if I'm American, I got to have money. So we're going to extort the American with his money. I said, I don't have $400. And I didn't. Well, you give us $400, you don't get your passport back. Well, just call the police. They are the police. I have a cell phone that barely works. It's a flip phone. Who am I supposed to call? What am I supposed to do? You know what I did? I walked away. The Haitian guy that was with me, the preacher, he thought I was crazy. I said, I ain't giving you no money. I started walking away. I said, everything's legit on my passport. As I'm walking away, I was scared to death. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me here because I need my passport. Or else I'm in big trouble here in this country. Start walking away. Said, I'm not going to do it. They come running after me eventually. Said, just pay $35 and we'll let you through. Came back on the Haitian side. Coming back through checkpoint after checkpoint. Look at your passport. I'm with the Haitian. They come up on the bus. Bus all crowded full of Haitians. He takes my passport. He looks at it and says, this is not you. How's it not me? He's like, this isn't you. You're lying. Get off the bus. I'm looking at my guy that's with me, and we can barely talk with each other. He's looking at me like, I don't know what to tell you. I said, it's me. I broke out my South Carolina driver's license. I said, see, and finally he says, okay, it's you go. They're looking for money. You see, that's how it is in a lot of countries. But we're spoiled in the United States. We can travel freely among state, not having to worry about any type of checkpoint. And God has blessed us. But in God's blessing, we become lazy. We become, for lack of, we become lazy. We think things that are owed to us because we're American. God, listen, God has blessed us. Listen, there was a preacher, the missionary I was working with down there. I was down there one time with his son, and the son was riding a motorcycle, and his son fell off the motorcycle, busted up his knee pretty bad. And so he eventually had to, I'd take him down to the hospital, go down to the hospital down on the Dominican side, and it looked like a school that was built in the 1920s. Broken windows, dilapidated, I mean, a mess. That was the hospital. And so we're walking in there, there's people everywhere. It ain't like up here, there's people all up in this building. And so we try to find somebody to get an x-ray. Finally, we look at somebody that's got a white coat on, it looks like they're a doctor, and we grab a hold of them, and he points us in the right direction. We go in this room, no protection, the crazy-looking old machine takes an x-ray of his knee. We wait a little bit, they give us the x-rays and say, here you go. They don't even read it. So we're walking around this building trying to find somebody that could possibly read these x-rays. Finally, when I find somebody, he lifts it up to the light, says, yeah, you got problems with your knee. Here you go. Put some bandages on it, send him out. Still had bad pain, still had problems. Eventually, we got him on a flight back to Miami. First hospital he got to in Miami said, your knee shattered, all kinds of problems with it. But I say that to say, we need to be thankful for what we have here in the States. Too many people today complain about our healthcare system. We got a wonderful healthcare system here. Wonderful healthcare system here. I would not want to be treated in some of those hospitals down in the Dominican. They looked at his knee, put a little bandage on it, set him on his way. It was shattered. We have to work. You say, preacher, I don't work no more. I'm retired. We'll find something to do and be productive with it. Whatever it may be. And there's something that you can always do for the Lord Jesus Christ. I put here, as long as your body and your mind will permit. As long as your body and your mind will permit. Ask God. Listen, don't come up and say, preacher, what should I do? You get alone with God and you pray and you let the Holy Spirit bring something across your path. And you say, God, I believe this. I believe you. I say, God, I'd like to have something to do for you. Lord, you know my circumstances. You know what I can do, what I can't do. God, open my eyes and bring something across my path that I can do to be a blessing to somebody and put forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe God will show you something. You have to work. You have to keep your mind active. Listen, it's the devil's playground to go into a room, shut the door, turn off the lights, and put the blanket over your head. That's a recipe for disaster real quick. You've got to stay active. God, from the very beginning, he says here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 5, and there was not a man to till the ground. The Lord was looking from the very beginning when he created Adam. He had a job for Adam to do, and that was to till the ground. Adam had a job. Take your Bible, look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 17. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, next chapter over. Look at verse number 17. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Oh, right there is trouble. You see what the Bible says right there? And he said, he come to Adam, look what he says. This is already after he called him out, verse 11. Jump up to Genesis 3:11. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Verse 12, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Back down to verse 17, God deals with Adam. He says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Gentlemen, you have a wife this evening or this morning, we're accountable. We're accountable. Right? You're going to get to heaven someday, and guess what God's going to... If you did something like this with Adam, God's going to say, because you listened to your wife. And I'm not going to touch the church bylaws this week because we got visitors in. That's why I didn't talk about that next week. But we're going to look at it next week as well. Or I'm going to go over more. Men are to run. Are to run things. This is Bible. Look, God didn't come to Eve and say, what have you done? He came to Adam and said, he didn't come to Eve and say, because you listen to your husband. No. He came to Adam and he said, Adam, I'm holding you now accountable because of you listening to your wife. How many churches today, the preacher won't preach what he needs to preach because he listens to his wife? How many men won't come to a good church today across this country because they're listening to their wife? Well, that preacher's just mean. That preacher doesn't understand. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Nonsense. God holds us accountable. You know what? I don't believe God would have made me a preacher or put me in here to preach the gospel here and through my whole salvation so far if I didn't learn to be a husband to my wife. I don't believe it. My pastor back home said he didn't believe God would have called him to preach till he learned to cut the lace off his britches. Brethren, we need some men today, and we ain't got them. Yeah. I'm not talking, listen, those of you that know me, I've tried to spend some time with some of y'all. Those of you who know me, listen, I don't like contention. I don't like being in the forefront. I try to stay off to the side, but when it comes to the Bible and it comes to preaching, we need some men. I love you this morning. I love you. But you couldn't do some of the things we're doing today back in 1910. Get out, brother, you do Civil War reenactments, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Let Stonewall Jackson come up out of the grave today. Or Robert E. Lee. Or some of those men that were in the Civil War that were godly men and to see the state of our country today. Those were some men. Look, when you could sit on a horse... Stonewall Jackson, I love reading about Stonewall Jackson, and I know him up north, but he was a godly man. He was a good man. Robert E. Lee, the same. There's a lot of lies being told about those two men. They were godly men. You can be riding on a horse, and cannonballs flying by you, bullets flying by you, and you're as still as could be. You want to talk about a man. Your horse gets shot out from underneath you. You step off, and you step back up on another one. You keep going forward. That's a man. The flag drops, whatever side you're on, the flag drops and another soldier's fighting to get up there and pick it up and keep going forward. That's a man. We're missing manhood today. And we're also, because we're missing manhood, we're missing womanhood. Because the man has dropped the ball, the woman's going forward without a correct leader, a godly leader, and now women are just crazy as well. Just as much as the men. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Now, do I take counsel and will I listen to my wife? Absolutely. There's many times my wife is a lot smarter than me. A lot smarter than I am. But God holds me responsible. Do you understand? I am not saying this morning that women cannot be spiritual. I'm saying just the opposite. Women can be very spiritual. And men can be spiritual. But God has set up a system from the very beginning that a man has to give an account for his home. A man has to give an account for his city. A man has to give an account for his country. And it doesn't fall back onto the back of a woman. That's just Bible. That is just Bible. You know, there's 8 times in the Bible where the word prophetess is mentioned. 8 times in the Bible. Where there's shown any type of leadership position from a woman in the Bible. 8 times it's shown. One of the times we don't know who the woman is. The other time it's shown it's not in good context. So there's 6 times in the Bible where the word prophetess is mentioned as a woman having any type of position as far as the Lord's concerned. And the majority of those times, guess why that woman was put in that position? Because the men dropped the ball. You know why Deborah, everybody wants to run to Deborah. You know why Deborah, she was the only one willing to try to do right. So God says, okay, I'm going to use her. But if there's a man willing to be right, he trumps that then. Does that make sense? Even Deborah was trying to get Barak to do the right thing. And he was such a coward, still he says, unless you go with me, I can't go do it. She was even trying to push him forward to be the leader that God wanted him to be. Brethren, we have a miscued understanding of the Word of God and what God has established. God established up manhood, and God's going to hold man accountable. And when I die someday and I go home to heaven, I'm not going to be able to point the finger at my wife and say, well, Lord, I didn't do this in my family. I didn't do this in my family because of my wife. God's going to say, verse number 17, and unto Adam, he says, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee. You see whose responsibility it was to put forth the commandment to his wife, and later on, if his kids came along, God put that responsibility upon Adam. He says, I command thee that thou should not eat of that tree. How did your wife fall into deception, Adam? Because you dropped the ball. And you didn't stand up. Adam, you were standing right there with her when she's talking to that serpent. You should have pushed her aside and told that serpent to get out of here and told Eve, we're not doing this. We're not going to partake of this fruit. We're not going to touch this fruit because God said I shouldn't do it. And I'm your husband and we're not going to do it. But for whatever reason, the Bible doesn't give great detail on it. For whatever reason, Adam stood there with Eve while she's talking with the devil. And as he fails to intercede for his own wife, she gets persuaded by the enemy and decides to hand that forbidden fruit to her husband, which corrupts him and her. You know why there's troubles in homes today? Because a husband won't stand up and he's allowing the wife to bring things in that he knows he ought not allow to bring in to the home. And he knows if he stands up, look, there's nothing, I'd rather face a bear than a woman in her wrath. Some of you smiling at me, you know it's true. I would rather face a black bear. I'd rather face a black bear. Look, the Bible talks about a bear robbed of its wealth. You'd rather face a bear robbed of its whelps than a fool. Right? So the principles in Proverbs talks about it. I'd rather face a black bear. The Bible talks in Proverbs to dwell with a contentious woman or angry woman. Go to the far side corner of your house. You get a woman mad, she can make your life miserable. Miserable. And that's why a lot of men won't stand up and do what's right. But a lot of good women I know have said that they looked and desired for a man to stand up and do the right thing. And if they only would do it, they would follow. I've heard women say that before. They were looking for a man to be a man. And when the man took the charge and the man said, this is how it's going to be, this is what we're going to do it with the right way, not being a dictator. I'm not talking about being a dictator this morning. I'm not talking about men that go home and beat their wife. That's wicked, that's wrong, that's sinful. I'm talking about being a man. Look, I know if this were out there, man, people be... Man, how many people would send me hate mail? Women would get on me with the stuff I'm talking about this morning, but it's true. And that's one of the reasons why we're in a situation we're in today. Because men have failed to be men. And women have failed to be women. There's a proper order, there's a proper structure that God set up from the very beginning. Husband, wife, children. The Bible says in the latter days, women shall rule over you and children shall be your oppressors. Are we not there today? That's found in the book of Isaiah. Do not women rule over us and are not children our oppressors? How many children run the homes? Yeah. Brethren, I'm speaking truth. Just take a little trip through Walmart. Little kids are little devils and they're running the homes. Look, go down into a juvenile center and they're run by the young men that are in it. The Bible says if you don't do the right things, there's consequences to it. And it started here, and I think today, to where the Bible says that there was no man to till the ground. A man needs to work. A man needs to get up in the morning, and I understand there's night shift, but you understand the principle. He needs to get up, he needs to get a job, he needs to go out there and he needs to work. He needs to do something. He's not to stay inactive. God has set a man up from the very beginning to be the leader of his home and to work and to provide for his family. Take your Bible, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And look at verse number 7 here in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3, 7. The Bible says here, it says, "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any should, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Guess what? If all of a sudden tomorrow we took away the welfare system, we took away food stamps, we took away all government assistance, I guarantee you by the end of this week, very few companies would be looking for a place to hire. It's true. If all of a sudden you realize, unless I work, I'm not eating, you're going to start working real quick because you're going to get hungry real quick. Now look, I understand there's situations where men can't work. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about legitimate situations. I'm talking about situations to where you have a body and you can work and you'd rather just live off of government assistance. That's what I'm talking about this morning. That is what I'm talking about this morning. I'd be the first one to try to help somebody. I had someone call me up this week. Said, you know, I don't know who they were. I said, we called your church up. I got four kids and I need some groceries. I'm not going to look at that woman and say, well, no, you need to get out there and work. I said, all right, you send me a list of the groceries you need. I'm going to go buy them. You tell me anything you need. I'm going to go get it for you. Baby formula, diapers, whatever you need, you let me know and I'll get it and I'll even drop it off to you. Well, no, sorry, I'm good right now. You see, if the government wasn't there to provide the help, where would people then turn to? The church. And hopefully they would see the need of salvation. But if government's going to take care of you, why would I need church? But now I'm finding now that I'm a pastor and I got the phone number for the church, the people, all kinds of people calling up wanting money. All kinds of people calling up all the time, wanting money. Oh, I'll come out to church. I'll do this. Never show up. Now, am I going to stop helping people? Absolutely not. But I want to say, if all of a sudden you had to work for your food, you would find out real quick how sick you are. You understand? You would find out real quick how sick you are. Look, some of you grew up in a time to where if you didn't work or your dad didn't work, you didn't have food. And even the time that your dad did work, there was very little food, even though he was working. We've lost it today. We've got the mindset of everything's due me because I am who I am, so you should just give it to me. Says who? You see, they want to apply that same principle to God. And God someday is going to look at it and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worked iniquity. But Lord, we did this in your name. Lord, we did this in your name. Lord, we did this in your name. He's going to say, I never knew you. Take your Bible and look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 4. Proverbs 13 and verse number 4. Proverbs 13 and verse number 4. Look what the Bible says here, Proverbs 13, verse number 4. It says, Proverbs 13, 4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." How are you made fat spiritually? You're diligent about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those that are a sluggard, they desire all day long, yet they have nothing. A sluggard is this, a person habitually lazy, idle, and inactive. A person habitually lazy, idle, and inactive. That is a sluggard. Take that and cross-reference 21:25 to over 21, verse number 25 in Proverbs. Proverbs 21, verse 25. Proverbs 21, verse number 25. Bible says here, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. It says here in 25, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Look over at chapter 26, the next chapter over, and look at verse number 16. Proverbs 26, verse number 16. Look at Proverbs 26, verse 16. Well, actually, look at verse number 12. Proverbs 26, verse number 12. Bible says here, it says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceits?" Conceit means your imagination, your thoughts. That's the definition of conceit. "Seest thou a man that's wise in his own conceit, in his own imagination, in his own thoughts?" The Bible says, "There's more hope of a fool than of him." So a man that thinks he knows it all, a man that thinks he's got it all together in his mind, a man who thinks his imagination and what he has here will help him, the Bible says there's more hope of a fool than of that man that's wise in his own conceits. That's a pretty strong statement there in the book of Proverbs. Well, if you got a little pen in your hand, take that and mark down to verse number 16 in the same chapter and look what it says. Proverbs 26, verse 16, it says, "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceits than seven men that can render a reason." You know why you can't reason with most people today? Because they're wise in their own conceit, they're lazy. You can have seven men go up to that individual and say, "This is the truth, this is the way it is. No, I know what I'm doing, I got this thing." And the Bible says you're a fool. A sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render reason with him. You know why it's hard to get the gospel to some of the generation that's out there today? Because they're lazy. And the Bible says they're wiser in their own conceit than seven men that can render a reason to them. Now, you might be able to get them to pray a prayer. You might get them to say that they believe in Jesus. But to truly get born again of God, I think it's going to be few and far between. Because they're wiser in their own conceits. They're sluggard. Look, when you can play a video game and make more money than a fireman, we got problems. There's young men today and ladies that play video games and are making millions of dollars by playing video games. And people will pay to watch them play a video game. People will pay money for them to watch to play a video game. And I'm telling the truth. Caleb knows it. People are paying to watch somebody else play a video game. And they're making millions of dollars playing a game that doesn't even exist. Think about firefighters. Think about our soldiers. Think about our policemen. Think about those in the medical. Just people out there working jobs daily, barely making it with what they got. And some man can take a leather ball that has air in it and jump 4 feet in the air and put it through a little metal ring and make $25 million a year. Yeah, you got a man or somebody rushing into a fire to rescue a baby and he's making $29,000 a year. Yeah, are not some things confusion today?
Come on now.
I can puff up a little a pigskin ball. I can go out into a grass pasture, I can paint some lines on it, I can put uniforms on each side and put a hard thing on their head, and we kick it and throw it back and forth, and I can make $50 million a year doing it. Well. Yeah, you can have a dairy farmer who's got to get up every day of the week, every day of the year, go out at 4 o'clock in the morning, milk all those cows, do all that work, and he makes $60,000 a year, maybe. I don't know how much a dairy farmer, he ain't making as much as LeBron James is making, I know that much. Who's more important? If all of a sudden the milk distribution stopped in this United States, there'd be an uprise. What about the trash? You want to tell me who's more important? A trash collector is more important than a baseball player, a football player, or a basketball player. Let the trash man stop coming by your house for a week or a month. Do you see how messed up we are in our minds today? Where the United States of America has put the emphasis on the gods of sports, on the gods of music, on the gods of education. You need the trash man. Oh, that dirty man, he stinks. Oh, let him stop coming by for 2 months. Especially in the city. And you're going to have Haiti real quick. I love Haiti. But it's a very dirty place. Trash everywhere. There's no trash collectors in the country of Haiti. And it shows. Brethren, I'm trying to put things in perspective this morning. What really matters in our life? God expects a man to work. If all of a sudden we stopped having football, if all of a sudden we stopped having basketball, if all of a sudden we stopped having baseball, this country would still go forward. It's not going to affect anything. The only people it's going to affect is the man that's making $5 million a year to throw a little white ball to another man holding a leather mitt. And he tries to get it by the guy that's got a wooden stick in his hand before he hits the ball out of a certain area. Now, I like baseball, but if you stop and think about it, to spend 3 or 4 hours, and I've done it before, to watch some man with a stick trying to hit a white ball outside of a certain fence for 3 hours. But I'm going to complain because I'm in church and the preacher goes past 45 minutes. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about the church here. I'm not talking about anybody here. But some people start getting, man, he's been preaching for an hour. Yeah, people will sit at the Iron Pigs tonight or last night for 3 hours watching some men run around touching white pads in the middle of a dirt field. And I like baseball. And I'll probably still watch some at some time. But God lately has been putting some things in perspective in my mind. We wonder why we've lost power with God. Because I'm watching some men try to hit a ball out of an area that has no meaning on my life. God expects us to work. Anybody ever hear about a baseball player by the name of Alex Rodriguez? He played for the New York Yankees a while back. He's retired now. I did it out one time with his. If I'm not mistaken, he signed the highest contract for Major League Baseball at one point. Do you know how much he made for a half an inning 1 year? How much he made for just playing? Half of an inning, he was out in the field. The other half, he was sitting on the bench unless it was his turn to bat. He was making over $9,000 per half inning. He was making like $30,000 a game. Just to go out there for 9 innings, the amount of money he was making just for one baseball game was insane. We put things before God in our country, and it's showing. We're reaping what we've sowed.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm going to put this, some of you would know this greater than I would, but I went to the thrift shop the other day, and I've seen this before. I was opening up a Sports Illustrated book. Sometimes I like to flip through, look at the pictures and things, and there was a Gordie Howe. Am I saying his name right? He was a hockey player, right? And they had a picture of him, and behind the picture they had a goalie and the stuff. He might have been a goalie. And they had a picture of the fans back there. Those fans had suits and ties on. They had a suit and a tie on to go to a hockey game. But look at us today. We've dropped the ball. Now, I'm not saying you got to come to church with a suit and tie on. What I am saying is that God requires for us to be modest and to be sober and that to conduct ourselves in a way that promotes godliness. When you can go to a hockey game and you have a shirt and a suit and a tie on, we've let ourselves drift further and further away from what we used to be as a country and as a church. But see, it doesn't happen overnight. You see, these things don't happen overnight. These things happen over spaces of time. God requires for us to work, to not be slothful, to not be lazy, to be about his business. Last verse I want you to look at. Look at Proverbs 24, verse number 30. Look what the Bible says here. Proverbs 24. And look at verse number 30. Proverbs 24, verse 30. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. See, there's a lot of things been broken down in the church today. A lot of things occurring in churches today that would have never occurred 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. But because the preachers and the brethren were slothful, they were lazy, they thought they could get by on man's standards and man's programs rather than the Holy Spirit of God interceding and working in the services, thorns have grown up. Nettles have taken hold. The wall's been broken down. Why? Because we've resorted to man's measures rather than God's measures. We need the Holy Spirit of God moving in our lives. We need the Spirit and power moving in our services and not merely just going through the motions this morning. We need men to be men and godly men, and we need women to be godly women and love God, that have the power of God upon their life and not merely just doing, but God moving and working through their life. Not just the motions, but God in it. We can go through the motions and produce numbers, but it doesn't mean God's in it. We need the Holy Spirit of God to move in our life, not just in church, but in our own personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can put up a list of do's and don'ts, and you can follow it to a T, but it doesn't mean you know God. The way you know God is when you're walking with him, and he speaks to your spirit and says, yep, do that. No, don't do that. Oh, your heart wasn't right in this situation. Oh, make this right. Apologize here. Say you're sorry there. Do the Holy Spirit working through your life. Being directed and guided by the Lord. Look, I've heard preachers say this, and I tried to implement it. I mean, I've said it here before that. You know, you wake up every morning, every day, and you ask God to bring somebody across your path you can witness to. And I know some of you in here, you do that every day. You go to work, you're witnessing to people, you're handing out tracts, you're trying to talk to somebody about the Lord. I was walking the other day out there near my neighborhood, and I'm walking, and I have my dog with me, and he gets a lot of attention for whatever reason. I don't know why, but everybody, they love my dog. I'll be walking by, what kind of dog is that? I had people stop their cars on the road before and say, hey, what kind of dog is that? So I take him with me now as an opportunity to maybe talk to somebody. Because a lot of people will stop and say, what kind of dog is that? And so I'm walking with my dog the other day, and I'm coming up on this area where I'm walking, and there's a house that they're building, and it's under construction. There's two men sitting off to the side in their seats. I don't know if they're taking a break or whatnot. And so I walk by. I'm getting to walk up on them. Now look, I'm going to tell you how it works. I get nervous trying to witness. That often tells you God's probably in the thing. If you're not nervous, your knees don't shake a little bit, then you're probably going in your own power. So I'm walking along, and I'm telling you, the Lord said, you need to talk to them. God, they're working on a house. They don't want some man walking by with a dog to start talking to them about Jesus Christ. God, they got better things to do. They're tired. They're just taking a break. Let them drink their Gatorade. God, let me just keep walking. The Lord says, you need to talk to them. Well, here I go. I pull a Gideon. I said, Lord, if they ask me what kind of dog I got, I'll go over there and talk to them. So I'm walking. I almost get by him, and a guy shouts out, hey, what kind of dog is that? I said, oh, God, you're kidding me. kidding me? Are you serious? I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I went over to them, had a wonderful talk with them. Wonderful talk with them. God provided an opportunity. And I had prayed right before I took the walk that day with my dog. I said, Lord, today bring someone across my path that I could talk to about you, Lord. I prayed that before I walked. I didn't know it was going to be on my walk. I was just praying for my morning time, getting out in the morning. I said, Lord, just bring somebody across my path today that I can talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is. Here's my opportunity. And here I'm fighting with God. What I prayed to ask for, God's providing it for me. But the devil don't like you talking to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I could go up and talk to them about the construction business and about the price of lumber or their favorite sports team, and I would have no struggle with that because there's no eternal consequence. But the devil knows that if I go in and I start talking about their soul and the Lord Jesus Christ and where they'll spend eternity, now all of a sudden there's eternal consequence on it, and the devil's going to jump all in on that thing. He doesn't want any, he doesn't want to see anybody delivered from their sins. He doesn't want to see anybody coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. So I want to encourage you this morning, be about your Father's business. Be faithful. Stay steady. You might be retired. You might not have a job that you go to anymore like you used to. But ask the Lord to provide some type of work that you can do daily for His glory and for His honor. Because the Lord said there in Genesis, He created Adam to till the ground. And to the day we go home, God's got something for us. Something for us to do. It may just be praying, but it might have just been your prayers that day that I walked out. One of you might have been praying for me, that God used your prayer to help me go talk to those individuals. Do you see? Do you see how it all works? We're in this together. We're a body. Let's work to the day. Let's work for the night's coming. Let's work till Christ calls us home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, I know sometimes I get stirred up, dear God. Some of these things, Lord, just get me worked up, dear God. Lord, I love my country. But Lord, it grieves me, dear God. It grieves me to see the state of the nation that I've grown up in. Lord, it grieves me, dear God. Lord, people say, God bless America. Lord, I don't even know how we have the right to even say that nowadays, Lord. How can we pray, God bless America, Lord, when we spit in your face as a nation? Lord, when we got sodomy, Lord, and lesbianism, and we got all kinds of wickedness and an abortion, and Lord, just turn our back on you, Lord, completely. Lord, yet you allowed us to wake up this morning. We got supermarkets we go to, Lord, and get any kind of food we want, Lord. We can go to the hospital if we need treatment. Lord, you're good to us, Lord. Help us to take advantage as believers. Lord, help us to take advantage of the time that we have left with the freedoms we do have. Lord, help us not to fritter away the time. Help us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. And Lord, till you call home, thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, bless us now in the preaching hour. Lord, you receive the glory and honor. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you. Take a little break here for a second before we go into the preaching hour.